Hi there, hello. You are listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lucem, call me Cheat Speak, and we have an interesting one here for you this time around. Brands are everything. You know, from games to clothes to cars to appliances, the perceived quality of a brand often outpaces or completely eclipses how good or bad a thing actually is. And that's what I think we're going to talk about today, especially how it relates to our favorite thing, video games, how the perception of a brand impacts our ability to review and enjoy, and in some cases, entirely perceive a game. Now, this topic was sparked by a development studio that we've followed closely, Fabraz, and two very similar titles that they've released in the past few months as we record this, Demon Tides and Bubsy 4D, both 3D character-based platformers very much cut from the same cloth. If you're not familiar, Fabraz is an indie development studio that specializes in what they call expressive platformers. So titles where player expression through not just, you know, physical customization of a character, but mastery of a complex moveset, meaning, you know, expressing yourself with how you move around a level, that's their chief design priority. And they really had the wind at their back going into Bubsy 4D's release, which is today as we record this, May 22nd, 2026. Demon Tides, which preceded it by a couple of months, was received very, very well. A lot of people really enjoyed it, us included, and that gave them even more cachet, I think, than they already did. But that's where the story gets interesting. Demon Tides and Bubsy 4D, as I mentioned, were released within months of each other in 2026 and are in practice incredibly similar games, whether you want to admit that or not. They have borderline identical game feels, the same exact level design philosophies. In some cases, it almost feels like they're using the same textures. The same emphasis on speedrunning, very similar art direction and presentation style, again, to the point where you take out the main characters, you might have trouble distinguishing which game is which. It's the game equivalent of something like badge engineering on cars, if you're familiar with that concept, where for our American listeners, you know, General Motors makes Chevrolet, makes GMC, makes Buick, makes Cadillac, makes all of these different brands that are essentially built on the same foundation using the same, you know, chassis, the same transmissions, the same bodies, and they mix it up just a little bit to hit different price points under different brands. Different interior materials here, different fonts in the infotainment system, this feature removed, this feature added, to maximize the same foundation across as many different variations as possible. In practice, that's a lot of what kind of Demon Tides and Bubsy 4D feels like. Now, for the record, they're both very good games, and part of me still, you know, wonders how much of a demerit it may be on Bubsy 4D that it is so similar. It's something that even Atari as publisher have slyly acknowledged with us directly on camera doing things. It's very fun. That's a separate discussion. At any rate, all of this is to say that given that they are so similar, you might expect reception and overall quality perception to be very similar as well, since the games are very much cut from the same cloth, but that's actually not the case. As of today, as of when we're recording this again, release day for Bubsy 4D, May 22nd, Demon Tides, as of this point in time, holds an 84 on Metacritic on PC across 24 reviews, which is pretty darn good, honestly. In comparison, where do you think Bubsy 4D lands? Again, being such a similar game, a 67 on Metacritic on PC across 15 reviews, and a 61 on PlayStation 5 with 19 reviews. That is an appreciable and noticeable step down in quality, where a lot of game review scales and ratings would put this at, you know, even worse than average, where 7 out of 10 is considered average for most. That's not how we do it, but that's the general kind of take on it at this point. So why is this? Again, they're such similar games. What could possibly go wrong, right? it's funny because Bubsy says that a lot. Well, in reading a few of these reviews, it seems that there are kind of widespread concerns about a general moveset, the mechanics of the game, how the platforming works, and what's perceived as a lack of cohesion or kind of groundedness in the platforming, where a lot of structures and a lot of designs in Bubsy 4D are very abstract and obviously made for platforming designs and structures and buildings that are out floating in a void somewhere. Some are rooted in, you know, an actual world that you're visiting, some aren't, and that's sort of the case sometimes. Length also seems to be a concern. Bubsy 4D's overall length and completion time is estimated at around 6 hours, but it seems that a lot of reviewers and players are finishing it much faster, in a lot of cases 4 hours or less, which is bringing the $20 price point into question for some. The price-to-value conversation, we talk about this a lot, is often a challenging one to approach, and you don't want to define the inherent value of a game by its length or by its price point, but it is a topic of conversation nonetheless. For reference, Demon Tides, again, that just immediately preceded Bubsy 4D here, skews more toward 15 to 20 hours for completion and is $25 at full price, so only $5 more, which, yeah, doesn't paint a super great picture for Bubsy 4D, does it? So maybe there's some understandable complaints there. Some reviewers also very strongly connect the dots from Bubsy 3D, of all things, implying that, you know, this is kind of that direct sequel, and review the game in reference to that one. We even read one particular review that said that many issues from Bubsy 3D have been fixed. They overlap in no way whatsoever, aside from the fact that they kind of both feature Bubsy. It's not like a Sonic Adventure 1 to Sonic Adventure 2 kind of deal. And it is kind of interesting in Bubsy's case to make that comparison, because there's been almost no cohesion in game feel, style, or presentation from game to game, with Bubsy 1 to 2 kind of being the lone exception, maybe. 2 to 3D feel completely different. The Woolly Strike Back feels completely different from Paws on Fire, which feels completely different from Bubsy 4D. They look, sound, feel like completely different games. And so wanting or expecting Bubsy 4D to adhere to the style and format of not just any of the games that came before, but ones that have been so kind of maligned and rejected by the masses over time, I think is a curious hill to kind of find yourself on. It may in part also possibly be the result of a wider audience getting their hands on Fabraz's gameplay for the first time. A Demon Tides and even Demon Turf before it played to what's probably more of a niche kind of indie and platformer enthusiast crowd and a set of reviewers, which are maybe more inclined to be a little gentler to the game since it's something that they're kind of more passionate about. Whereas Bubsy 4D was kind of picked up by the likes of IGN, Giant Bomb, Game Informer, etc., much bigger sites with you know, much bigger reaches that don't necessarily have that perspective on any one particular genre. And indeed, maybe come in with their own kind of preconceived notions about some things. The Sonic was never good argument often comes up with discussions of this type. These kind of large sites have obviously a bigger staff of reviewers, and opinions can naturally rotate in and out as different people get their hands on different things. So you don't always get consistency from game to game in a known franchise or a popular IP. So some of that is potentially to be taken with a grain of salt. There's also the fact that, just to call a spade here, Bubsy is traditionally just a more grating and annoying character, with the quips, with the design, with the shrill voice acting in a lot of these titles. Though modern games in the series have accommodated this to a large degree and offered ways to dial up or dial down the chattiness and annoyance factor if you so choose. So if you, you know, choose to be annoyed and frustrated by how chatty Bubsy is, you're kind of making that decision for yourself, right? A lot of these points, especially as far as the gameplay and the design go, they apply directly to Demon Tides as well. And what's really curious here, especially if you just want to take it through that lens, is that where they were nearly universally praised in that game, the level design, the level of challenge, the overall design philosophies, the gameplay, the mechanics, how the platforming feels, they were widely praised in Demon Tides and rejected and criticized on a much larger scale in Bubsy 4D, despite their extreme level of similarity. So the major factor then that sort of divides it, aside from, you know, some of the other things that we talked about, was that one is a Bubsy game and one is not. And the fact that, you know, the one that is happens to be a Bubsy game seems to inherently make it worse. And isn't that interesting? Now, to be perfectly clear here, this is not an apology piece or an excuse-a-thon for Bubsy 4D. We're not necessarily going to the mat for it. That game does have legitimate issues and concerns, especially things like the length that we had talked about before. That ultimately means it likely doesn't eclipse Demon Tides as the quote-unquote better game. So we can understand in large part where reviewers are coming from with this one. But it's an intriguing phenomenon nonetheless. And it's just so interesting to us, sort of from that external perspective, how a lot of sites and a lot of discourse handle this exact kind of situation. And it's not exclusive to Bubsy. It is a more widespread industry problem that if you kind of take a step back and look at it across time, we have seen across many, many different IPs, you know, across many, many different decades. We're just going to zero in on one or two here, but I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably have your own personal pick for an IP or two that has suffered from this to some degree across the ages. We use this example a lot just because it's one we're very familiar with, but Sonic has seen the same thing for seemingly, you know, decades and decades now, 20, 30 years. It's a reputation, fairly or not, for absolute dumpster fire quality in the mid-2000s. You know, arguably Sonic Heroes, but certainly Shadow the Hedgehog, certainly Sonic 06. That has kind of completely tainted the reputation of games that kind of immediately followed. The okay Sonic and the Secret Rings, the legitimately good Sonic Unleashed, and the great Sonic Colors and Sonic Generations, all dragged down to some degree by the fact that their predecessors were such flaming piles of you know what. And to be totally candid about it, that has been the case. You've seen these titles, you know, reviewed in the shadow and in the context of those games, regardless of their actual quality. You know, I think Sonic Unleashed initially reviewed maybe somewhere in the 60s as well on Metacritic, to the point where it got delisted, where, you know, looking back on it, you probably wouldn't say that that's the case, and people have been a lot kinder to it across time. But in the shadow of Sonic 06, anything that Sega put out was going to be perceived more poorly than it actually was. To this day, legitimately good to great projects like Sonic Frontiers somehow live in the shadow of these decades-old struggles that the franchise, no matter what it's done, seemingly has really struggled to overcome and still can't seem to fully get away from. You see it, though, to a lesser and more understandable degree in Bubsy. You have the same thing. Okay games, The Woolly Strike Back, Paws on Fire, perceived as dismissible dreck by most. Legitimately great or very good games, game, in this case Bubsy 4D, similarly knock down several pegs if for no other reason than the character you're controlling is one that traditionally, you know, the broader gaming populace hasn't really liked. Over time, this kind of goes both ways. Franchises very much seem to get caught up in this sort of brand perception for better or for worse. You know, very beloved franchises like Mario or Pokemon, for example, often get the benefit of the doubt and receive higher scores and better discourse, sometimes even a wholesale pass on certain titles when the games don't really warrant it. And lesser IPs, we'll put lesser in quotes as well, like Sonic, like Bubsy, dozens if not hundreds of other examples across time, get the opposite. They get lower scores, they get worse discourse, they get less grace overall, simply because of the face that's plastered on the cover, right? You can debate the merit of any of these individual titles or any of these individual IPs that's happened, you know, across time, and there will always be defenders where, you know, people who really love a certain title in a maligned IP will go to the mat for it. Sonic is a great example of that. There are others where, you know, they will, you know, either passionately defend or passionately bash on it, and it all comes down to the level of love or lack thereof for a particular title in a particular franchise. And the point really is this: when it comes down to it, especially if you're in a position like ours where you try to have honest, unfiltered takes on the games that are put in front of you, no matter the IP, no matter your history with them, games should be reviewed and judged on their own merit. So if a studio drops, you know, a 9 out of 10, it shouldn't matter that it's a Bubsy title and shouldn't be held back because of that. It's a 9 out of 10. Similarly, if, you know, some company completely lays an egg and it's a 3 out of 10 or a, you know, 2 gloobies out of 5, it shouldn't matter that it's a Mario title, that it's a Zelda title, that it has, you know, knights on the front, right? If it's not a good game, it's not a good game. And it doesn't matter who's publishing it. It doesn't matter who the mascot platformer icon is on the cover. It doesn't matter what genre it's in. Should be judged on its own merit. Consideration for the IPs that particular games are rooted in and their historical context is important. Let's not pretend that it doesn't matter. But knocking games down, especially when they don't deserve it, simply because they feature an unpopular or perceived to be lower quality character or brand, isn't really fair. And this is a really interesting example of how the industry and certain publishers and certain brands continue to struggle to buck that trend. Food for thought. At any rate, hypocritic.gg is your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.